All right, welcome back to the show. It is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly, and Sheriff Kevin Snyder is in the house, a friend of mine for 53 years. We used to go over to his house on Saturdays at noon and watch pro wrestling on the black and white TV. You remember that?
I remember that.
And years later, I get to know all those guys I watch. Well, at least the ones that are still alive. I think the only one that is still alive is handsome Harley Race.
Right.
And he's barely hanging on.
Yeah, I remember the days of Rufus R. Jones and Bulldog Bob Brown.
Yeah. I remember going down to Vets Auditorium. There are little old ladies urging each one of the wrestlers to rip off the other arm and hit him over the head with it.
They get a little bit involved, don't they?
But they would get involved. They would stick pins in them, hat pins and stuff like that. And then there came the battery throwing times. And I asked Kurt Henning once, I said, what's your favorite or least favorite battery? He said, well, that'd be the 9-volt. I said, why is that? He said, it has corners. Anyway, Kevin's running for election. I want to make sure we're clear on this. Not re-election, election, because his predecessor retired, and they appointed Kevin. Was it a surprise for you?
Well, it's always a surprise when you're dealing with government.
Yeah.
But
was that the Polk County Board of Supervisors was involved in that, or what?
Right. The board is who appointed me, and you know, it's a tough position for the board members. One of the outgoing board members wanted to be involved, and one of the new incoming board members wanted to be involved. Well, obviously, that can't happen on the same day. So right. So it was a little up in the air, and so when the finally decision was made, it was a little bit of a surprise.
You know, the amount of work that goes into when dignitaries visit the higher up, the more involved. But you guys have to work together with all departments to make sure, and then of course Washington D.C. etc. If it's a Trump or Pence or whoever, there's a lot of involvement. That a lot of meetings, I would imagine.
A lot of meetings, a lot of man hour commitments, a lot of folks that work overtime to provide the security details they need for these dignitaries.
I was amazed when in Aspen, Colorado, I was made to wait downtown for about 3.5 hours for Bill Clinton to drive through. And then they had a big squawk about that because the city has to pay those man hours for the additional protection and traffic control and all that. I don't know that it's always something that I'd look forward to. I mean, the city of New York is right now just hating it that whenever Trump comes back to New York City, it costs them millions of dollars.
Costs millions of dollars, and it certainly interrupts people's everyday life and
Amen.
Their normal flow.
Well, it's good to have you in, Kev. Appreciate that. Joining the conversation, as you will, this portion of the program. Brought to you by our very good friends at Hicklin Power Sports. Look for them online at hicklinpowersports.com. Out of Grimes, Iowa, a full line, Yamaha, Sea-Doo, Can-Am, Beta, KTM, and Polaris. Next up, Tony, you get the opportunity and the honor of introducing our next guest.
Okay, well, through Turn 7 of Road America this past weekend, we were just talking to John from there. This man kept it pinned on the rev limiter versus braking well into the braking zone. He is the man that we love to interview, Danny Eslick. He joins us now. Danny, what's up? How are you?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good. What's the Turn 7 there? Talk about that. You outside of Turn 7, you keep the bike pinned on the rev limiter versus braking.
We're not talking politics anymore, are we?
Not me. I never will. I never will talk politics on this show unless provoked. I typically tune it out. And
Turn 7, I think we may be talking about Turn 8.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
Down towards the Johnsonville Bridge where the brats are made.
Man, they smell good, don't they?
I mean, it's a matter of a short shift or run on the rev limiter a little bit. And Jason Farrell built an awesome motor. That's whose bike I was riding, the Kawasaki 636. So thing was stalled all weekend long, and it's a matter of having to do a little short shift or running on the limiter for a few minutes.
What did Jason – I mean, he's a pretty accomplished rider himself. Did that help with setup or advice on riding the Kawasaki?
I mean, we didn't really make any changes, very little changes, minimal to the bike, because he's rode that bike at Road America for, you know, the last several years. You know, it's a bit of older model that we were racing this weekend on the 636 and K-Tech suspension, which I heard in your guys' advertisement there while I was waiting to come on air. So, you know, the K-Tech suspension was working pretty good, but I mean, it's just a matter of, it was a little bit in the limiter, but And sometimes I did shift, but it's easier to not have to do the extra shift and back shift. I mean, you think about it, every lap doing two extra shifts, that's a lot of extra shifting.
So it's just a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah, to shift
that motorcycle.
So much.
I mean, you got to click it down and then back up. It's a big deal.
Yeah, you got to plan for that.
Well, Jason, he's different. He's like Matt Mladen. He ran street bike shift. I run the GP stuff, so a little different.
Is it more fun for you?
What?
The GP or what you run?
I mean, yeah. I mean, the GP shift is for me is easier. I mean, I grew up racing flat tracks, so I know how to shift regular like a dirt bike does. And GP shift, for people that don't know, is where you stomp on the shift.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just what I'm accustomed to. I can get on any motorcycle there is, and if it shifts this way or that way, I'll figure it out.
Man, how do you do that? How do you switch your brain over? Because I've done both on track days, and sometimes every once in a while you're
you go to
brake and you're like, oh crap, I just shifted up, or you go to shift up and you're like, oh, I almost blew up my engine,
or somebody else's,
or get ran into from somebody behind me, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right. No, it's just, I don't know. It's after you ride it around, it's just your brain is just kind of programmed into it, I guess, for me anyways. So it's, I don't know. That was one of the big deals. Whenever me and Jason first got this deal going, which was like 2 weeks ago,
wow.
He goes, well, I run street shift. We're going to switch that over. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I could figure it out again. You know, it's just a matter of doing it. I rode a lot of Jason Pridmore Star Schools and would jump on his class bikes, which were regular street shift, you know, street pattern, you know, one down and five up or whatever. And so you had to get used to it pretty quick either way. And then you jump on his two up bike. Or I would jump on his two-up bike, and it would be GP shift because that's what he raced with, so he was more comfortable with. So it's just a matter of just, I don't know, as soon as you get on it, you know kind of that that's what the deal is.
It's not a big deal to switch on the cow. It's just a linkage, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I just twist the throttle.
Honesty right there.
Road America, do people party down a little bit more, the fans at Road America, than other racetracks, or is that just my crew?
Well, it's not like Brainerd where they used to dig a hole.
Right.
But, and it used to be a lot cooler when there was, I mean, the fans that are there are obviously awesome.
And it is Wisconsin.
Be better when they had it behind, they had like their own little, basically jail cell behind the tower where they let everybody just get wild, have bonfires and jump scooters over fire pits and pulling people around on car hoods and stuff like that. But
back when it was
earmuffs, Sheriff.
Road America is one of my personal favorites.
Back when they burned furniture and that sort of thing and it was encouraged.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why take it home when you can burn it here?
I think the people back in the day just used to go around on dumpster day and just get the couches that were by the curb and take it to Road America and then burn it down.
Man, some of those couches smell terrible, though.
Yeah.
We're talking with Danny Eslick. Danny, your quest to become the third five-time champ of the Daytona 200 ended early. We spoke to you about that. So this year, are you gonna do any more Moto America rounds? If so, any changes you're gonna do to the bike or anything like that? And then next year, I know we're going racing in Daytona, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the first off is it's very up in the air with the Moto America thing. Jason Farrell and Barcon, Damian Jigalov's sponsor, kind of came out of their pocket to fund my deal for Road America, and it was very last minute, like I said. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I called Jason. I just kind of had a little whim. I was like, Jason usually rides Road America. Can I, you know, maybe call him and see if he's racing? He said he's not racing. He's got to be crew chief for Jigalov. And I said, well, what do you think about me riding your bike? And he goes, I think that's a good idea. So that whole deal came about, and
wow.
there's a possibility of riding New Jersey and Pittsburgh and possibly Barber, but it's we got to have a little help along the way to make that happen. I mean, as everybody knows, racing's expensive, but on the Daytona side of it, some other people that are coming to help me for Daytona were at the race this weekend because everybody loves Road America. And they were there, and Michelle from TOBC Racing and her husband Miles were there. So we kind of had a little powwow, and things were in the works for Daytona already. And
awesome.
That's also another one that is in need of funding, but we're looking to do something big at Daytona, and it's in the works. And I mean, I don't know. The bike broke this year like 10 laps into the race, and I was pissed off for a few minutes, and then I kind of chuckled, and I was like, you know what? I've got more wins than everybody in the race, so I kind of laughed it off, and, you know, you can't win them all.
You know, I've got to ask you your opinion on something that I think is pretty cool, and that is what Melissa Paris has done, team owner of MP13 Racing. But her and her husband, Josh Hayes, as you well know, not only secured last-minute financial support to be able to compete at the championship round at Road America, but they did so and did well. I admire that. What are the thoughts in the pit?
Well, he's older than me, and he did better than me, and his wife's hot.
We tease him about that every time he's on, and when she's on, we're all shy.
Hey, if it was a video feed, you'd see the octopus. I'd be doing it right now, but you guys can't see it. If anybody knows what the octopus is, she showed me what it is on the microphone one year. And accidentally, we were on live, like, GoPro feed from Barber, and we got in trouble. Josh scolded us both.
Well, let's not repeat that here on Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly. We've been on the air for 16 years. We'd like to stay on for another couple.
I don't even know what it is, but I don't.
Well, no. He'll tell you off air.
Okay.
I've seen pictures.
you didn't run your signature number 69 at Road America, which obviously Hayden Gillum runs that. Instead, you ran a 34. So did you have to pay your buddy Michael Barnes royalties on that number?
Oh.
No, the Moto America wouldn't let Michael Barnes run his signature 34 number because they have to be a three-digit number or something in that twins class, and they wouldn't let me run a three-digit number, so I'd have been like, you know, 269 or 469 or whatever number. But, yeah, they wouldn't let me do that. So the only cool number that was available was my buddy Michael Barnes' number, so absolutely run 34 for Barney.
There is a lot of politics that are behind the scenes most fans don't know about, and one of them is the designation of numbers, whether they've earned the number or they're assigned a number for what purpose, what reason. But I find it somewhat challenging, but there's powers that be that know a lot more than I do that are involved in that.
It's difficult. Same with flat track too. You know, the flat track used to be like my number would be 69G in flat track. Well, now they make 3-digit numbers, and hell, this ain't motocross. It's a lot easier to figure out because the districts are figured out by the letters, and they have been since like the 60s or 70s or way before my time. So I don't know. They're just trying to keep up with the times and make it like motocross or something. I don't know.
Well, I got to believe you're overall pretty happy with yourself, but we surely want to see you. By the way, we were all firmly in your corner for Daytona, okay?
Thank you.
We really wanted to see you win that thing again, and nobody does it with greater class.
Hats off to Kyle Wyman and his crew for going and kicking ass.
Yep. Well, Wyman's talented, dude. I mean, let's face it. Right?
Kyle Wyman went and did the deal. Him and his dad, Bob, and the rest of his crew, hats off to them for going and doing the job. Like, after I took my gear off and I got done being mad, you know, myself, the rest of it, like, him going and winning, that hats off to him.
Well, hats off to you, buddy boy. And that's always cool when you see somebody classy like you that recognizes friends and foes alike. And that's what it is. Competition is one thing, but there's no room for hatred or getting any kind of paybacks or anything. You know, I think we all got to get old sometime. So anyway,
I got gray hairs. I had to shave my face before this weekend because I was riding the kids' class.
Danny, do us a favor. Reel off the sponsors you want to recognize, personal and otherwise.
I mean, Jason Farrell this weekend, big kudos to him. Barkon Construction, Arai Helmets, Alpine Star Boots, RS Taichi Leathers, you guys for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
What do you think of the new helmet that I've seen? And this is kind of controversial, but it's got a heads-up display on the visor, so you can see what's behind you, and obviously you can see what's in front of you. But it's also Bluetooth compatible, so you can take calls.
While you're racing, you can see who's coming up behind.
There's probably one guy that needs that rear view camera at San Federico in the Superbike class.
Oh, wow. That's like your top drawer for us, buddy boy. Hey, next time you're driving through Des Moines, dude, stop. We'll buy you dinner and have you in the studio.
All right.
Promise?
You got it.
Thanks, Danny. Danny Eslick on the program. Thanks, Danny. You head to the pits there. Ryan Sipes waiting in the wings to do the program in studio. Sheriff Kevin Schneider is running for election. And when's the actual election, Kev? Is it September or November? When are you up for that?
We have till 2020, so same as presidential.
Wow. Really?
Correct.
Would you be on the same ballot as people running for president, all 35 of them, or however many people are running for president?
I believe I would.
Wow.
Well, I think they might narrow it down by then, Scott.
You think so?
Scott's a little slow. It takes him about an hour and a half to watch a 60-minute show, so we work with him.
Well, that's why they make tape machines. So, anyway, be kind. Rewind, folks. We'll be back after this. Jeez. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Dean Wilson, number 15. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
With the for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.